My friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Paving. ChrisPaving.com is the way to go check out concrete, asphalt, New Orleans or Bayou region. Locally owned and operated. Go check them out. I can give you the number. You're probably not going to remember it. I don't. ChrisPaving.com is easy to remember, so go do that. Hour one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. NoWakeOutfitters.com. You can go check out lessons, see the kayaks they got for sale, all that and more. And we thank them as always. You can give us a call on the Ruderman Can hotline, 800-998-1003. As we're going to have a fun hour, I think, in store for you. Yes, we can try to break down the Kings and Pels game. We'll do that tomorrow as well. We got a day. Pels did return to practice. Ty Graffanini, we spoke with John DeShazer a little bit ago. You saw him over at practice. He said it was spirited. I mean, look, and that's what we were talking about in hour number one. I know you weren't listening because you were at practice. We're like, it is interesting, fans and fan support and how you feel. And it's like, isn't that what the job used to be of the fan to, hey, be there and try to push that team over the finish line? Because we all want a postseason. We all want to see that first round, you know, series. And then I went through the list of all the big leads and everything. It's so crucial for this team to play home to try to get that crowd that, you know, when they do show up and show up to get loud and be a factor, because when Zion ties the game on that dunk, he makes that play, Trey hits that three from the logo on Tuesday, it is a home court advantage.
Yeah, it is. But the results haven't been there. I mean, that's the problem. This year, there have been more clutch losses at home, not on the road, at home, that's really put us in the situation that we are in right now. And I'm not talking about what happened the other night. This has been going on really since November and December. Yeah. Again, two Houston games, two Memphis games. Really, the two Memphis games were the ones, if you really think about it. But look, it is what it is. It's a game seven tomorrow night. There's no tomorrow. And it would be such a shame because of this season. I have had a blast this year. It has been an awesome year. And it'd be really, really difficult to swallow if the Pels went out that way. 49 wins, and all you had to do was win one game down the stretch at home and not be able to get it done to get out of this mess. And when Sacramento, who, you know, after the game in Golden State on Friday,
we were all watching.
I'm walking back to the hotel, and I'm watching on my phone. Knowing if Sacramento beats Phoenix, we're the six. Right now, I'd be in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
As a six seed with the team. And when that happened, Sacramento's up four with a minute to go, and they can't pull it off. My heart sunk because
you know now.
I know.
Yeah. I watched it.
And JD's like, you got to help yourself. You got to help yourself. You got to help yourself. Well, yes, the Pelicans did help themselves on that road trip.
4-0.
But I just, Lakers in this building with the travel situation.
Yeah.
We talked about that constantly last week. And now you're in a must win. And look, I know the five wins, that's all fine and dandy. But just having been at practice, I think the guys realize their situation. It was a really good practice. As JD mentioned, very energetic. Brandon Ingram looked really motivated to me. And I know a lot of questions are going to be about Jonas Valanciunas. Is he going to play? I promise you, people, he's going to play. Because when Domantas Sabonis is on the floor, Jonas Valanciunas is on the floor. When Domantas Sabonis is off the floor, that's when JV takes a break. JV has done a fantastic job on Domantas Sabonis the last couple of years, especially. Sabonis is a great player. But when he goes up against JV, again, you got a couple of Lithuanians going at it. And it's almost like the Steven Adams versus Jonas Valanciunas thing. Jonas knows exactly what Sabonis is going to do every second that he's out there because he knows him very, very well. And I'm going there, and I know Coach Fry is going to break it all down. Very simple to me. We better make at least 15 threes.
Yeah, well, that's what it goes down to.
That's it. That is it. I mean, you can X's and O's it all night long. The Pelicans have to make minimum minimum 15 threes in the ball
Keegan
game.
Murray had 8 himself, 18 for Sacramento in that win back on Tuesday. Coach Alan Frye joining us, and thanks. I know this is your time off. This is when you should be relaxing and hanging out.
You're making me work.
I put you to work.
Yeah.
Well, for 13 years I was with you on the Tulane staff, and I saw you, and you had a nice little printed out sheet in the morning, and you had video, and you did all that stuff. Let's just start from this aspect, because I kind of want to look at it from the coaching perspective, right? When you hear scout and you scout a team, what is scouting a team?
Well, I mean, you're trying to figure out what they do well and how you take those things away, and then maybe what they do poorly and trying to take advantage of those things. What Graf just said about having to make 15 threes, I mean, you had said before, we got to make threes to win this game. Like, me looking at the Pelicans, you know, they were fourth in the league this year in three-point shooting percentage. We got a bunch of guys that can shoot, and guess who's not playing tomorrow night? The one guy we have who doesn't shoot jump shots, right? Zion. So we are... You know, if I'm Sacramento, I'm literally practicing running the Pels off the line all day. You got to run them off the line because they have shot the ball extremely well.
Look, last Thursday in Sacramento, the Pels made 22.
Right.
22.
Right. Well, I'm glad you're here because I want to go back and forth. Now, I didn't know you were going to be here when he was doing this, but it's cool. He just said that. The first thing that popped in my head, Boston. Remember when the Pels hosted Boston in that homestand?
Right.
Boston did exactly what Coach Frye just said with Zion. Zion, after the game, said the Celtics pushed them further back to initiate their offense away from the three-point line, and it threw off their timing. So that now, again, you got to have the players
That's what I'm going to say. Sacramento doesn't have the personnel that Boston does.
They
It's matchups, man.
Or the Lakers. I mean,
Lakers.
You know, that's a terrible matchup for us. Just looking at the Pels, we're an average transition defensive team. They're number two in the league in transition points. You know, that's a bad matchup.
So you can say that they, you know, you're going to close out, but you got to have the people to do it.
Trevor was on the line. He called back, so I want to get to him. But then my follow up is
you're going
to
double up a call.
Well, no, he never got on.
I'm just listening.
But my follow up is going to be, if you don't have the personnel of that to what you want to do, then how do you do it, Trevor? What do you have, sir?
Gus, Tim.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Trevor.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the fandom aspect. I was just about to get on, and I had to go earlier, so sorry about that. But I think it's got to do with the what have you done for me? What have you done for me lately? And that's why the fans aren't as motivated. Now, me, I was there. I'm going to go every time, and I had three Lakers groups sitting around me. I was loud the whole time, but I think it's like, what have you done for me lately? And it truly is just demoralizing when your team does so good on the road and then they just can't, like, come show out for your home fans. And that's what we talked about, I think, on Monday, me and you. I called in and we talked about they need to maybe to have the same itinerary they do on road trips at home. Go stay in a hotel, do everything together, go to the game, and then y'all can go do whatever y'all want to do. But I think it's also a byproduct of the Saints not being good at home, and now people are just getting fed up. And I don't think it's fair. The Pelicans deserve some more. They deserve some more slack because they're still building. Like, they're still building it up. It's an improvement. It's just the road. It's the home record. That's why it's so demoralizing. People don't want to go because they're like, why do I want to go see them lose at home? And they haven't been playing that great lately. After they had gotten the hype all the way up on the road trip, it was like just typical New Orleans sports things, and I think that's why people are so frustrated. But I mean, I really want everyone to get out there, like, walk up, it's the last game, like, and I truly do believe if we do win Friday, that energy will come back for the first time when OKC comes in here, because those have been tough games all year. And I know our fans, we don't really like them. We really don't. I think our fans, that's our biggest rival. Now, our biggest thing, we hate the Lakers, but so I think that's why fandoms have been kind of like, the arena should have been more packed. It was still loud, but so that's what I had to say about that.
That's that question. Hey, it's Chef Scotty here, man. These Laker fans that were in the stands near you, were they from New Orleans Laker fans, or were they from Los Angeles visiting Laker fans?
Yeah.
Because it's
talk
sad.
To opposing fans like that. I don't talk to opposing fans like that. I have no clue, and I don't care. All that mattered to me was that they heard how loud and how passionate I was going to be. And they knew that, hey, I'm here. You're not going to come into a lazy arena. I don't care what team you are. But so, no, I don't talk to them. I was just being really, really rowdy, letting them know we're here.
Oh, no, these fans from New Orleans that wear Laker gear just make me sick.
That's one thing, and I agree with you 100%. Oh. But, like, if you've been rooting for the Lakers for 30 years, okay, whatever. But if you got one of your kids wearing a LaBoo jersey,
right?
That is totally unacceptable.
No,
that right. cannot
right.
happen.
Not except the Kobe jersey.
People around me. Like
as soon
that.
As you get a hometown team, the team you've been rooting for your whole life goes second.
Correct.
That's
that was
the
me.
Way
I grew
I
up
look
a Laker
it.
Fan. I was a Magic
always
Johnson
a Boston
fan. Then we
Celtics
got a team.
Fan. Yeah,
and that was it.
I loved the Celtics in the 70s until we got the Jazz. And when we lost the Jazz, I started caring about the Celtics again.
Thank you, Trav.
Whatever, man.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate the phone call.
I don't think you're going to see a whole boatload of Sacramento.
So I want to add to my follow-up.
Yeah.
Right? So my follow-up is if you know that a team wants to and needs to try to get... Welcome back. Sports Hangover at Katie's. Apparently, I didn't see that the battery died.
Can I ask you a question as a fellow radio person?
Yes. Yeah.
I had my 24-hour rule, Gus.
Okay. Yeah.
Like from, you know, I was not in a good place yesterday.
No. There were a lot of Pelicans fans.
I really didn't listen to a whole lot of radio or watch TV.
You didn't listen to my therapy session yesterday?
I did at first.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of turned it off.
I understand.
But, again, as a fellow radio
person
who's done remotes and everything.
Countless.
Going through air cards.
Yeah.
Could I ask you why you would not have that thing plugged in to start?
Because it was full when we started.
Well, why wouldn't it be plugged in anyway?
Because it tells you to turn it off. Once
you know,
it's
we
full.
Have Wi-Fi.
Okay. Both of y'all being engineers.
Excuse me?
Y'all can be more than happy to help me with this.
I just would
have,
had it plugged in to start the
show. I normally do.
That's just me personally.
I understand that. Coach, you've been in a situation where everyone second guesses you.
Yes, but with plugging things in.
Coming from the master of hindsight 2020.
For sure.
Exactly.
There is no one.
Is that the beauty of your scout or just y'all's profession? It sounds great when you meet with the coaches in the morning when you present it to the players. You do your walkthrough.
Right.
You do your shoot around. We get on the bus. We get to the game. And it doesn't go exactly the way you want.
That's sports, right?
It
That's
is.
Sports.
Sports is the greatest reality show of all time.
It absolutely
You can
is.
See all these scripted reality shows that everybody watches. Sports is literally the greatest reality show out there.
Agree.
Because it is unscripted and you have no idea what's going to happen. Gus, you've got breaking news.
I do.
I need to hear what did you
I
just
do.
Show us?
Well, I was
going to. This is a tremendous development.
I'd like to thank myself for this.
You can do it.
I can.
Just do it.
Did you want to see this real quick?
Do it.
I really love doing this. Ready?
Chef Scotty, watch.
Chef Scotty.
What am I doing right there? Go ahead, Todd. You're a play-by-play.
He's patting himself
on the back.
With his little hands, he's patting himself on the back.
Let me tell you something.
All right, Gus, break it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
break it.
Apparently, the New Orleans Pelicans will hold shoot-around. Get this. At the Smoothie King Center tomorrow morning.
It has not happened in the 5 years I've been the play-by-play announcer. For the Pelicans.
Whatever
it takes.
To everybody.
I don't care. Whatever it takes. I am also taking one for the team, gentlemen.
Yes,
I am.
Uh-huh.
How do I broadcast games, Gus?
With a stick mic. What do you do on the road? With the headset.
Guess what I'm doing tomorrow?
Headset. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
For the first time.
Two things are changing.
in the Smoothie King Center, I will have a headset on. And not a stick mic.
I really
28 don't. Wins on the road, all headset. Don't want to really talk about the home record with stick mic.
Yeah.
So I am taking it for the team.
Do you really use a stick mic?
I do. I've used a stick mic for 10 years now.
Didn't you see like a special package Channel 6 had?
Are you going to pat yourself on the back for this?
Something needs to change.
So... Okay, let's bring you in here.
Right.
Again,
and I'm
going to
do seafood
Alan
lasagna,
Fry for 20-plus seasons over there in Tulane.
I'll do seafood
You and
lasagna.
I, for a while, felt maybe like Sacramento did when it came to South Florida. Now, I don't know about you because you're on the staff, right? But here comes the schedule. I text Todd. Oh, boy. February 20th. January. Oh, boy. Here comes Jose. Like, I just – because it gets to me. And I'm not playing.
Right.
And I'm like, I know what's coming. Here comes the threes. Here comes the defense. Like, a team sort of is that thing. And what happens, Coach, when the game notes come out? South Florida's 21-0, 22-0, 23-0. They're undefeated in conference. And it gets to that. And I was there when we broke it at South Florida.
Right.
But how much does that go into it as, too, in terms that you know that team? I mean, they haven't changed since I've known them, and you've known them. So do you as a coach sit there and go, okay, last 10 games, like, do you try to go, did they change something? Do you try to throw a different wrinkle?
I think all of those are possible options.
Can you overthink it?
But I think what is clear in sports is that some teams look at that other jersey on the other team, and you just can't beat them. You know, my guy here was talking about the Celtics and Lakers back in the, even in the 60s and 70s, where you could look at the talent on the Lakers and go, they were maybe in some years just as good or not, but that Celtics jersey, they just couldn't beat them at that time. And so there is something to be said for that. I'm hoping that we have the advantage tomorrow with the Kings.
Have you done that? Has the staff done that in the past, too, where you change something up?
Absolutely.
Maybe I don't even know, like, how you get there.
Sure.
Maybe you
try and throw some different wrinkles.
Go from the airport to go do a practice, you know, practice longer, maybe not practice. I mean,
try different things 100%. You definitely want to, and again, he's talking about the shoot around at the arena. I mean, is that a different look? Whatever it is, to throw something different. But, you know, I think a lot of our fans would have said, and during your therapy session yesterday, would have said that the Lakers have that over us right now. We see that jersey. Now, I do think there's some matchup things that we talked about before.
Sure.
That are different. But, you know, yeah, that's something in sports. Some teams just have the other team's number.
And there's that other side to it, right, guys? I mean, it's the same thing where, you know, for years it was the 49ers over the Saints, and then it was that Rams, and then Hakeem drops the ball. But I go back to 2009 with the Saints, and you're a Saints fan, too. And one of my favorite things to do when we're at the airport, the Saints are playing, you and the staff and I would be watching the games at the airport.
Sure.
But, so, I mean, you know, the Saints fans, we've been together for a while. In that 2009 season, there are a lot of moments in games where you circle, you remember. The Patriots win was the first time, right, where, like, as a city go, oh, we might be good. Like, They went no Moss, and Tom Brady was pulled. Like, so to that point.
That's 15 years ago.
There's something to that confidence level of trying to say that you can get to that too, right?
Yeah, well, sure. But, again, let's hope the Pels are playing on that right now. We're confident against this team. Todd talked about how well we've shot against them. I mean, and again, you probably don't make many game plan changes, although you are missing Zion, which is going to be – that's going to change the – way the game flows, some for sure.
What are some of the stats that stood out to you when I unfortunately gave you this homework assignment?
Yeah.
You thought you had a nice summer off, and here I am
asking you
to do some homework.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I think, first of all, how well we've shot the ball. You know, listening to you here today, you know, you're worried we're not going to make shots tomorrow. And But the problem is, if that's the kind of team you are, that's what you have to play. Looking at it, we are not great at the rim. And we just lost our best guy at the rim, right? Our second best guy at the rim is JB.
Okay.
No, Zion's best.
Okay.
Right? But you just lost him. So we've got to be able to make shots. You know, for sure, the three ball is what he talked about. I mean, I think that's got to be the game plan tomorrow night.
Because it's Sacramento's game plan.
All right.
37% of their points come from threes. That's fourth in the league.
All right,
they are going to jack them up.
Part of your scout, Alan, is to probably look at past games. And
all
how
of them,
they
sure.
defended, because
mm-hmm.
you do cut-ups,
yeah.
right? You have a
yeah.
little program on your laptop there, sure. and you literally grab highlights from other games, put them together so you can show the team. When I look back, Todd, and help me out here, let's do an audio cut-up. What did teams do in the last 2-3 games to really take CJ out of his rhythm three-point shooting? I know it's one thing to say that he doesn't shoot well here. But in his post game, he said, I had three open shots in that game Tuesday. He was being honest. And he's been honest in the past. He's like, I had open looks I missed. He didn't say that. On Sunday, they were face guarding him.
No, there wasn't a lot of room for anybody to do anything on Sunday.
So what does that mean,
it was different,
Alan?
It was different on Tuesday. It was definitely different.
He had shots.
But Sunday was, I mean, you think about God, I hate to admit this, but Austin Reaves really did a good job on CJ on Sunday.
He's bigger than people think.
He is bigger than people think. I really don't like him.
Like you look at, I know, but
credit.
You look at him on TV and you're like, this guy's.
He blocked it. Austin Reaves blocked a 3-point attempt by McCollum on Sunday. So.
Yeah, and so my question is, do the Kings have guys like that that can challenge us? They really haven't. They haven't shown that they can. And so that's
well, who's the chaser? Is it Barnes?
Well, now this is going to be interesting.
Fox
because they've put Barnes on Zion. So they might put Barnes on BI now. I almost felt, you know, JD and I would laugh. It's like you almost felt sorry for Harrison Barnes because he's a big body, and he had no chance. He had no chance against Zion.
Well, that was the kryptonite,
so, right?
Against
the BI is going to be too quick for him.
Well, again, we'll see how they match it up.
So let me. Here's the dumb question from the guy in the back of the room to both of y'all, because you're looking at it from a coaching standpoint, and Todd, you're looking at it from having called 5 games against this team. I can hear Mike Brown right now saying that they run the same play over and over again with Zion, and it's unstoppable, and there's nothing to do about it. So there's a play, or is it him, or is it the attacking of the paint? I guess what I'm saying is, do you still do what you did against them this year in attacking the paint? Does B.I., does C.J., I know you're not Zion, but do I attack the paint tomorrow against the Kings?
Go ahead.
You go.
I was going to just say real quick. Yeah. I was on with two radio guys. I go on with them in Sacramento before we play them every time. And I'm telling you, both those guys said we're more in awe of what Brandon Ingram does against the Sacramento Kings than what Zion was. Because Brandon did not play the last time we were in Sacramento. He was not in. He goes, man. Brandon Ingram kills
it. He had 15 just points in that 133-100 game.
Right.
It was CJ with 7
but
threes.
They were just more on the Ingram does so well against us in what he creates than actually what he scores. So
and you've been saying all day.
That jump shot that comes behind his head is almost impossible.
It is. But I think it's all going to go through Ingram tomorrow night. I think Brandon, again, just watching him today.
Yeah.
I think he realizes, look, it's on me now. It is on me, and I got to get this thing done.
Well, one thing Gus has continued to point out here is he's our leading assister on the season, right? And so if they've got to run doubles at him, then all of a sudden he's kicking out to Trey, he's kicking out to Herb,
well,
he's kicking out to guys.
A couple of whip passes on Tuesday that were just brilliant to get dunks. So, you know, he should have his legs back, his stamina back. He's had 2 games now since coming back. So I think we're going to see the best version of Brandon Ingram tomorrow night.
The other thing I told Gus today, which was sort of interesting looking at the Pels, is Brandon Ingram is a great finisher at the rim. He doesn't get there enough. Like, love to see him get there more tomorrow night.
Yeah, being physical is another aspect of it. Coach, we'll ask you a couple other things. The graph, he's out. He's got a fresh pizza. Is that a good pizza? What kind of pizza did you get?
I got the Bradburn.
Best.
I'm a meaty guy. I need meat.
I like the Bradburn. I like the Terrano.
As long as you like it, you suggest it, then I'm in.
I need to bring one for you when I come on games.
I like the yard bird, too, though.
Yeah, how many games have you done? I have never seen a pizza.
But you don't eat before
games.
That's
true.
He has a whole thing about that.
I can't do that.
Sports Take Over continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Where do my friends and other students find their voice? We find our voice through the performing arts, along with millions of other high school students. By expressing yourself in a role on stage, through an instrument, or at the debate podium, the performing arts give us freedom to find ourselves, to find our place. The stage is where I can play, perform, and compete with my friends.
Performing arts at your school is where creativity meets courage. Encourage the students in your life to find their voice through the performing arts. This message presented by the NFHS, where we encourage all students to play, perform, and compete together.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop kayak and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
3T Oil Change is an efficient, quick-loop service that offers oil changes for gas and diesel engines, brake tags, tire sales and services, engine and cabin air filters, bulb replacement and wiper blades with the convenience of a drive-thru. No appointment necessary. 3T Oil Change on Main Street and Cutoff. Call 798-7401. Proud supporter of South LaFoo Sports. 3T Oil Change says, go Tarpons!
State Bank and Trust Company has provided Cajun banking served just the way you like it for now 70 years. State Bank offers a wide variety of modern conveniences without having to sacrifice that personal touch that we all know and love. So stop by today and get a taste of Cajun banking and be met by a smiling, familiar face who loves our area as much as you do. At State Bank and Trust Company, still standing strong after 70 years of loyal service to our community.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. It is Thursday. Our crew of KDs passes at Hades. Imagine that. See, the conductor is laughing. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, we're at Katie's. Yeah. That was great.
Katie's, we're at Katie's.
Yeah, favorite. Katie's, we're at Katie's. Oh, yeah, guys. I'm walking in.
The conductor knows what he's doing here. There he is. The conductor, Chris Moran, Chef Scotty, and Alan Fry, assistant head coach for, what was it, 20-plus years over at
18.
18, yep. That was close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
No, look, it's funny, and I bring that up. Hey, thanks for coming in, and I mean, this is your offseason, you know, and I gave you homework. I just thought it would be interesting because you said you were at the game on Tuesday.
Right.
And you can tell this quick little story, and then we'll go to the phone calls if you didn't want to. Ruderman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. I would sit on a bus or on the plane, and I know you're always so very happy when I looked at you, I'm like, is this open? And you're like,
right.
No, because he's working.
Right.
I got nothing to do on the flight. And I'd talk to you about the Pelicans.
Right.
And I'd talk to you about the NBA, and you would look at me like.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where during the season, I just don't get, now again, to playoffs, right? And okay. So one of the guys I grew up out in Metairie on Glendale Street, one of my Glendale guys invites me to the game the other night. So I'm like, hey, Gus,
he's being kind. Let me tell you what he would normally say. Gus, I'm coaching.
I don't watch the NBA,
Gus. We played last night.
Right. Well, but once the season ends, I do watch it.
No,
and
I
absolutely watch the playoffs, and I love the playoffs, I think we're going to be in them.
But when you told me that you were at the game, that's why I thought it'd be interesting for you to kind of look at it from that perspective.
Yeah.
You haven't maybe watched all the games this season.
No, I certainly haven't.
So you're not as bitter as the conductor is about certain players playing or not playing. He tattooed Najee Marshall on himself. I mean, he loves Najee, and he hasn't played the last.
Hey, if we win the ship, absolutely.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, so. That's why I asked you to look at the team in its own light. You know, too. Okay, look, we're having fun.
Right.
It's a little banter back and forth, as you can hear in the background. But to that point, you always hear coaches say, shorten the rotations, shorten the amount of players you go. I can always remember asking Lisa, hey, you have depth and you play a lot of players and you get to conference play and you do shorten that. Why is that? Because sometimes I go, is that the right thing sometimes? Because you may have, say, a three-point shooter on the bench when the team's not shooting threes.
Or two.
Or it's just not working with the player or two. So isn't that why you would go to the bench? I don't know. You're a coach.
You look up at those matchups.
Me.
I mean, even Graf is saying, you know, and he's watched all these Kings games that I haven't watched.
Yeah.
That our guy, JB, does great on Sabonis. So, okay.
Trey Bean.
You play him in that situation. You know, I do think that watching the Pels, and I said this to the person I was at the game with the other night, you know, I do think Willie's got a tough job because I think you got a lot of guys who can play. And it's a challenge for him. But the challenge is, well,
I got a call from
Jordan Hawkins. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who can play. Najee. I mean, Najee's numbers.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Najee's numbers are good on the year. I'm sorry. I looked at this.
He's had a good year.
He's had a good year. You know, so I do think that, sometimes figuring out what that right matchup is on a certain night is a challenge. Yeah. And sometimes you throw things against the wall.
Well, speaking of throwing things, if a player throws an assist to a water bottle that's on the scores table.
Yeah, that's a turnover.
Okay, yeah, yes.
Not an assist.
Right,
yes.
No, well.
Okay.
That was,
he missed a few games.
That was Najee's last play.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, just
hasn't played since.
Gotcha.
Overthinking things, right? That's a phrase. Like, can you overthink at this moment in time?
Yeah, you definitely can. And I think
it feels like
I don't think they probably stay
to,
away
right?
from that, right?
Yeah.
Like to me, you're not. Like, you know, you said they had practice today. They have shoot around tomorrow. But the truth is, they've been preparing for this game. They've been preparing for this game since September. Right, all offenses they run, all the defense, all the scheme. Now he has these things in what he wants to implement. We talked about, does he throw a couple of possessions of zone at him? That's something that has been pretty good for the Pels. The Kings have struggled against that. Do you see that tomorrow night? Just some things to look at from a coaching standpoint. Does he throw some of those things out there, especially if maybe they're in a rhythm offensively? You know, we talked about Sacramento being a gigantic dribble handoff team. You run a zone, you're not going to see a whole bunch. That's not really effective against a zone. So that might throw that down a little bit.
One of the things that I find interesting, too, when it comes to this matchup is sort of the other side of it. Because let's say this would be reversed, right? Let's say the Pels have lost five straight to Sacramento going into this here as well, right? We would probably say, Alan, the first thing is, hey, the odds are it's got to change here, right? I mean, odds are this is that you're going to play better here. I would be asking you, Allie, you haven't beaten them five straight times. Well, what's going to be changed different here? What do you try to do different?
I'd much rather be the team that won the five than say, oh, you know, it's our turn.
Really?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think so, for sure. Because you have that mental thing over them. B, there is some, if you're 5-0 in the NBA against a team, you're going to have some matchup, advantage that you've obviously taken advantage of in these five games. And
right.
I think you try to exploit it. Now, where Zion falls into that is a different question.
And a coach left to you, Chef Scotty.
Well,
anything that has to do with the Pels, because you got a lot of questions when it comes
to I wonder how they're going to use JV.
Right.
He's obviously had an advantage on Sabonis for years. They've been playing against one another.
Yeah.
He has not used JV the way I think he would. Definitely not Sunday.
Right.
He needed him more Sunday. When they were getting crushed in the middle, he was just letting it happen. I don't understand what this coach thinks sometimes. But
yeah, well, you know, again, you got a team that is just great in transition, and JV's not the fastest person in the world.
I get
right?
it.
But does he get D boards? The other thing, there's sort of been a reawakening in basketball about offensive rebounding. For a while, and see NBA teams that never sent anyone to the glass. Now they're having more people offensive rebound. Our two best offensive rebound putback guys are Zion, who's out, and JV.
Right.
So can you steal some possessions that way? Can you steal some possessions that way? You know, the game's just changed so much. Just even sitting there watching the game the other night, watching how much of the time there's all five players outside the three-point line. And the same thing would be with the Kings.
Well, you know, that's funny because you and I have had discussions.
We have.
It's not even arguments on the airplane,
well, I mean,
on the bus, in hotel rooms. About that, literally, Alan had to sit me down a couple of years ago and go over the philosophy and the theory of a three-point shot over a two-point shot. I mean, we'd be in the lobby of a hotel. I'm like,
it counts for more points.
I understand that. But he literally had to sit me down like a school kid and be like, listen to me. Because I got angry. I'm like, we are passing up layups. Like, why are we passing it out to the perimeter and hoping a three goes in?
Okay, well, two things now. Remember, now, free throws and layups are more in NBA dunks are more valuable than threes.
Yeah, but
both of them.
You see it all the time now, though, Alan.
That,
we're literally
also,
to your point, we'll see somebody under the rim. Larry Nance was under the rim with no one next to him, and he throws it out to the corner for a Herb Jones three attempt.
Yeah,
but that's what it is.
Yeah, and I don't know that particular play, but I would tell you, coaches will tell you, free throws and shots at the rim are your best shots. Three is third. Okay, the one that hurts, and again, when you look at their jump shooting numbers, even B.I.'s numbers aren't great. He's a beautiful shooter, like you said.
Yeah, right.
But overall, if you get Trey Murphy shooting catch-and-shoot threes, those are just going to be more value. And then the other thing in Brandon's defense is they throw him the ball a lot late shot clock and expect him to make a tough shot. You know, so when you're playing late shot clock possessions, sometimes those are always less effective possessions than early shot clock possessions.
B.I.'s got to have time to make that smooth release.
Sure, sure.
He's not good. He does not have a quick release, but he's got a shot that's impossible to block.
It's impossible, right?
Walter, do it from behind.
Walter, thanks for holding on here. You're on the Sports Hangover on the Ruderman Can Hotline. How are you?
Okay, how you doing? Okay, I got to ask you one question, okay? I would think, with Leon being hurt again, I don't think we even have him for the playoffs next year, okay? I think we ought – I don't say we have to trade him, but we ought to see in the open market what we can get for him. I think the Saints are going to – I mean, the Pelicans are going to be surprised that you can't get hardly anything for him, okay? Because TNT said the same thing last night. He's always injured, and he's not on the floor when it counts, okay? So, I mean, I'm saying you don't have to trade him, but see what you can get for him, okay? We, without him, we 7-5. I'd rather get rid of him and go get two other ball players that we can score points, okay? Are you guaranteed? You pretty confident next year? I don't think he's going to play 70 games next year.
Well, he played 71 this year.
Well, he played this year. You're not going to get that much play out of him. Okay?
Why not?
Why not?
Here's the other thing. Let me ask you this. If he doesn't play Tuesday, are you even in that game?
Exactly.
No, and you know what?
I'm just being honest, Walter. I mean, if he doesn't play Tuesday. Well, he's played that way since March. That's when he got right. And since March.
What if Philadelphia had traded Joel Embiid?
Yeah, because he was hurt.
Because he was hurt for 3 years when he started.
No, I'm not saying. Don't you think we ought at least investigate? If we get a tremendous deal, you could pull the plug, okay? What good in the next 2 years you go to playoffs and he can't play because he's injured, okay? He's been here for 5 years and he's been injured every time. He's been injured on the key game to get to the playoffs, okay? If he'd had this injury during the year, he would be out for two months and never play with a light handspring, okay? He can't play hurt.
None of them play hurt nowadays, man. It's a new league. It's a different type of athlete. It's not like Michael Jordan was, or you know, Julius Erving, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, all of them. They played hurt. The only time some of them played injured. You know, they shouldn't have been anywhere near a basketball court, but they played anyway.
Well, the other thing I'd add, you're talking about, you know, the guy I saw the other night looked like a transcendent talent. And when you start talking about the teams that have won the NBA over the years, they almost all have somebody named Bird or Magic or Jordan or LeBron on the team. And that's what I saw the other night.
Now,
I understand what the caller's saying, that he can't, you know, that he struggled with injuries for sure. But, man, when that guy was doing what he was doing the other night against elite rim protection, Anthony Davis is an absolute elite rim protector, and he was still getting there and finishing there. And, you know, I'm not great at this because I'm on the coach side.
Right.
To me right now, it's how do we win this game tomorrow night? How do we beat Oklahoma City and worry about the caller's question in April or May or June?
Right.
I agree with you on that. I'm not saying trade him. I'm saying see what you can get.
I understand.
You got nothing to lose.
It's going to be a lot, but are you going to get a young player like him that has unlimited potential?
Okay. Well, the next big question: are you going to sign Ingram to a multi contract?
Walter,
this guy needs to call you back in May.
That's a legit question in the offseason because I've seen anywhere between 40 to 50 per year would be that extension. And is that what you'd want to do? Do you invest in Trey Murphy? Those are the things those are more realistic questions and proposals than even remotely picking up the phone to see if you can trade Zion.
It is, but I would tell you this game is pretty easy. My coach Ray Bernie growing up used to say it's an easy game.
Yeah.
That guy was scoring at the rim unbelievably, yeah. Making it easy.
Yeah, you're not trading him right now.
He's a superstar.
For sure. Thank you, Walter. Appreciate the phone call, though. Yep, for sure. Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
NOLA Gold fans, get ready for a day of smoking good times and sizzling rugby action this Saturday at the Shrine on Airline. Before the Gold take on the Miami Sharks at 3, the King of the Yard Barbecue Showdown begins at noon. Featuring mouth-watering creations like ribs, chicken, redfish, and oysters. Purchase combo tickets to secure your spot. Enjoy music from Kevin Gullidge and the Blues Groovers over at the Party Shack. Go to NOLAGoldRugby.com for tickets today. It's the Gold hosting the Sharks Saturday at 3.
Absolute Fitness wants to welcome our community to come back and check us out. You'll discover an amazing environment and a friendly and welcoming staff at Absolute Fitness. We have a 12,000 square foot facility with all new top of the line equipment, new saunas, an amazing smoothie bar, personal trainers, and much, much more. Absolute Fitness offers many types of very competitive memberships along with a dual membership with our proud partner, CrossFit Brackish. Absolute Fitness at 17092 West Main Street. Galliano.
Mike Greenberg. Green.
No man looks good in briefs.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
It is not true.
Name a man who looks good in briefs.
I look good in briefs.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I think you do.
No.
But you don't.
I look good in briefs.
Get
I wear
Lizzie
briefs as well.
Phone. You
Cam.
Wear briefs?
Yes, they're comfortable.
No, they're not comfortable.
And I bet Cam looks good in briefs, too.
Guarantee you,
my
Cam.
Colleague.
My
Cam
good friend, Embo.
Cam, take your pants off right now.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
Listen up. Listen up, everybody. Go to Motors has 2.9% financing for 72 months on all 2024 15 Silverado models for qualifying customers through GM Financial. In case you missed that, I'll say it again. Golden Motors has 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on all 2024 models. This deal is good through April 30th at Golden Motors, Highway 3235 on the back road and cutoff Chevy together. Let's drive. Price is priority. Not compatible with any other incentives.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, we ran out of ink for the printer. Coach Alan Fry. So you're going to have to just tell me.
Okay. What are we doing?
For Sacramento, Coach Brown wants to know, what do the Kings need to do? Beat the Pels.
I'll repeat it. They have to absolutely run us off the three-point line. They have got to force us to not. We're a great catch-and-shoot three-point shooting team, and our leading scorer Zion's not going to be there. Who is the one guy who doesn't do the catch-and-shoot three? So yeah, I think they have to be really, really disciplined on not. You know, like you saw, we left the shooter in the corner the other night, up one. And that killed us. They can't do that against us.
So we talked about personnel, right?
Yep.
You got a certain personnel to be able to do that. When you have Drew Holiday and others, the Celtics were able to do that. So, I mean, the Lakers are a different type of personnel that can do that as well. If I have to pick poison, conductor Chris Moran, you and I talk about it, there's 2 3-point shooters on that court tomorrow that are going to see the most amount of time. That's going to be C.J. McCollum and Trey Murphy.
Right.
So, Coach, with those two out there, maybe I can't run the entire team or live on the arc, do I just focus on bodying and trying to disrupt CJ? Because Trey's like this.
Yeah, he for sure.
And I mean, I'm doing the roller coaster movement with my arm.
The other thing is, if your big guy can score inside one-on-one, or Brandon score one-on-one, then you got doubles. That's when catching two threes happen. You know, okay. So can you That's force them into double teams?
But to your point, threes are more valuable than two. Can I live with Jonas scoring 22 and B.I. scoring 22, but not giving up 15 threes?
Yes. That's how you have to live. I don't think, especially with the Pelicans have proven all years, they have excellent shooters, I bet.
Okay.
I've got to make B.I. beat me on those jumpers. I've got to make J.V. beat you on the post.
All right, let's flip the page, because now you're a double agent.
Okay.
Coach Willie Green, listen to me. Shoot around will be at the Smoothie King Center tomorrow. You got to do something. You got to try something to get this team playing and practicing where they're going to play. Zion's out. What are we doing tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I don't think you're throwing the whole game plan, the whole season out. I really don't. We talked about it. I think you got to be prepared to guard dribble handoffs. It's something the Kings do twice as much as anybody in the league. So that's what I'm working on, making sure we can guard that. Because we're going to be able to score.
And they don't like zone?
They haven't played well against it. Now, you're not going to see the Pelicans play 15 possessions zone tomorrow night. But do they play 10? You know, I'd be prepared for it, for sure.
How often or how early do you show your game plan? Like, if you wanted to do, on your scout, on your sheet of paper, we're going to do 15 plays a zone. Are you waiting for that in the second half? Are you waiting for that in the first quarter to start to get off the big start, or what are you doing?
Yeah, not necessarily the second half. I think you maybe do it after a timeout. Where they can't then scheme for it.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Unless that's your entire game plan, you're not doing that off the tip.
No, not at all.
Final things for you? Final thought?
No, I'm good, man.
You're good.
I just want to see.
You're very relaxed today.
I am. I just want to
see. It's only the biggest
him.
Game of the season.
Come on,
well,
Seth.
Well, so was
my
Sunday,
vacation.
And so was Monday.
His apartment rent. I
mean, and so was the Sacramento Phoenix game last weekend.
Lots riding on it.
Lots riding on
it. It's just like, you know, they just have to get it done. And like Graf said, they got to make 15 three-pointers at least.
You're going 15.
That sounds like a whole lot. I mean, Graf, you know, Graf's pretty intense.
No, I would say 15's a good.
15's probably a good number.
Kings made 18 in their win on Tuesday.
And
eight of those, Keegan
Phoenix
Murray.
Phoenix is going to launch.
Yeah, no, eight of those are Keegan Murray.
I mean, I'm sorry, Sacramento. I mean, what has been their three-point percentage against us in the five games? What have they shot? Do we know that?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know that.
And what did they shoot against Golden State?
But they are
46.
Yeah, yeah.
They shot
42.6%.
I'll tell you what, this was fun.
We actually guard the three very well.
Yeah.
And that's one of the
reasons. One of the top teams
them.
To
yep.
do that.
Yep.
Thank you for stopping by.
You got it.
You did such a great job. Congratulations. You're hired. We don't pay.
Right.
But you can come do this again if we make the playoffs.
Let's do it.
Would you like to do that?
I'd love to do it.
Maybe we'll get you some lunch.
All right, man.
I know you like the lunch. Like the lunch? Conductor Chris Moran, Chef
great
Scotty,
food.
Alan Fry, Gus Cattingill. Thanks to the craft. Thanks to JD. Thank you to everybody for listening. Matt Moscone after further review next on ESPN.